We're in Exodus chapter 14. Exodus 14, and we're only going through the first 14 verses today. 1 to 14. And there's a very, very profound verse in there, which we'll get to in a little while. Exodus 14, 1 to 14. We ended with Israel leaving Egypt, guided by God. By the cloud, we read in Exodus 13, starting in verse 18. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So God is leading them very visibly by this cloud, pillar of fire or pillar of cloud by day. And he led them the long way, not the short way, because we read in verse 17 of the previous chapter that the people would change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. The other way was they would run into the enemy. So he's taking them through a longer way to the promised land. We read in verse 1, now the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon, you shall camp before it by the sea. So God, rather than taking them north and east, he took them south. He didn't want them to run into problems with war. They weren't ready yet. And he says, you're going to camp before Pi-Hahiroth, before the sea, right by the sea. This was an unusual direction, since the promised land would have been directly east from where they were in Egypt. But verse 3 we read, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land, the wilderness has closed them in. Pharaoh will think they're confused. He says, what are they doing? Why would they be going down that way? He says, we got them. They're going into the wilderness, and they're not headed toward Canaan. And he says, they're bewildered by that. They don't know where they are. They're lost. They've been in Israel, in Egypt for 430 years. So none of them saw where they came from. And so he thinks they're actually going to be closed in by the wilderness and the Red Sea. Because there is the wilderness where they were going and then the Red Sea. That's between a rock and a hard place. Many think the saying, between the devil and the deep blue sea came from this. How the devil is Egypt and the deep sea. And it means that you're in a hard place. Good lessons today about that. Maybe you've been there or are there. No way out, no answers. We learn to just follow the Lord and his direction. One side it's the enemy, the other side it's the sea. We need to pray over every move in our life and ask God to direct us. Every time we do something, we must allow God to move, to lead, move us. Pharaoh thinks he's got them. Verse 4, Lord says, then I will harden Pharaoh's heart. His heart is hard. God will allow it to be hardened. I will harden his heart so that he will pursue them. He thinks he's got them trapped, so he's going to pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord, and they did so. You know how God works everything out for our good? That's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, Pharaoh's going to pursue them, but I'm going to gain honor over Pharaoh. Through this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, that I rule by what I do. I will use this to be glorified. And a lot of times we think we're in a bad situation. God says, I'm going to perform a miracle and show everybody that I'm all powerful and I will take care of this. Verse 5. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Remember, they kept telling Pharaoh they want to go out into the wilderness 3 days to sacrifice to the Lord. He sees them taking off. He says, wait a minute. They're not just going out 3 days into the wilderness. Our slaves are leaving us. They've taken everything and they're leaving. He says, wait a minute. He said, why have we done this? Why did we ever let them go out there? Then they're going to, you know, we've let them go from serving us. That was their labor force. And they're leaving. They're not stopping. So what did he do? He made his chariot ready and took his people with him. Now, these people are on foot, maybe a couple million people. They're not people of war. They have been under slavery. So he gets his chariot. That would be like taking his tanks. And he took his people with them. Also, he took 600 choice chariots. The best, 600 of them. And then all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. He's going out against just some people walking with no weapons. And he gets all the chariots, the choice chariots. Captains are guarding them. And he attacks them. That's a formidable force. They're coming after him, after them with this formidable force. And then in verse 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Now, they went out with much stuff from the Egyptians. They were well taken care of. They weren't worried. Remember how they asked their neighbors for stuff, and they got it? So they're going out pretty bold about this, not knowing that he's going to pursue them, but he's pursuing them. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and he overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. So he chases after them, and we see in verse 9 that he catches up to them. They were camping by the sea, right where God told them to go. So there they are. Now, Pharaoh, no doubt, taught the children of Israel we're in a bad place, and he would have no problem overtaking them. But so did the Israelites figure the same thing. They're in a bad place, and he's going to overtake them. Verse 10. When Pharaoh drew near, can you imagine seeing this huge army with chariots and all these weapons coming against you? And you think you're safe because God said he's going to deliver you out of here. When the Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, this huge force marching after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. The children of Israel figured they were in a bad place. Hey, we are in a horrible situation here. The Red Sea, and the armies of Pharaoh. You notice, though, they lifted their eyes. That's the problem. That's what we do. We go by sight. They lifted their eyes. They went by sight. They forgot what the Lord had told them. And they cried out to the Lord. They prayed. That's a good thing to do. However, when we pray, when we cry out to the Lord for help, we must trust and believe God will help. We can't just pray and then be afraid and start talking foolish. You know, when we pray, you don't stop praying and go outside and then get back to your own troubles and worries and anxieties. When we pray, we have to believe God will work. What does it say in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7? Be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. And you'll have that peace that surpasses all understanding. It's not just praying that's the answer. It's praying and believing and trusting in God. If we just pray and then get up off our knees and go back to our worries, we've really done nothing. It's not that prayer is going to change things. It's the prayer of faith. See, we pray believing. We believe God is going to work. God will work. He will help. If we don't pray like that, if we don't live like that, that God hears us and will help us, if we don't trust Him, trust His promises, then what happens? We get fearful and we complain. We can complain about our situation because we think we're in a difficult place, so we start complaining about our situation. Why? When we just prayed and asked God to help. Let's turn to Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. We've gone over this a lot. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. You want to be healthy? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge God. Allow Him to direct you. Don't use your own wisdom. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Doctors are proving that. Medical people are proving that stress causes a lot of sickness. The Bible had the answers way back here. Don't worry about it. Be anxious for nothing. Don't lean on your own understanding. See, when you see the enemy like David coming at you and it's greater than you, fear can grip your heart. That's where you must trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. Oh God, I thought you were going to help us out of here. Well, He will. Just because you see a difficult situation doesn't mean He's not going to get you out of there. But that's where they were. They cried out to the Lord, but they didn't listen to Him or for Him to speak. They went by sight and not by faith. They saw the Egyptians. Verse 11. Then they said to Moses, see what happens when you don't believe God or trust Him, that His promises, what He said He would do, deliver them? Even though the enemy was coming, they saw the enemy. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? See, this is what happens. They immediately started complaining. And he says, did you take us out of here to die? Why didn't we stay in Egypt where we were slaves and had no rights and were just tired and had a miserable life? Why wouldn't you keep us in that miserable life? Why did you take us out here to die in the wilderness? God said He would bring him to the promised land. You know, at the end of chapter 13 there, he was actually there by the pillar of cloud or pillar of fire. They knew God was there with them and was going to guide them. And yet, they see the enemy, and they think they're going to die. Did you ever find yourself going down, down, down due to not trusting in the Lord? It gets worse and worse and worse because we're looking at circumstances. We focus on the circumstances. It looked bad. How foolish. They thought it would be better to be a slave in Egypt than to die in the wilderness. They're going to be living in a good land. You know, people today are fearful of giving their life to Jesus, be born again, because they feel they're going to be cheated out of life. They feel it's going to be worse for them People have no fun in life. And they choose the world, what they see, over God. How sad. They don't want to give their life to the Lord. God has a better place for everyone if they would only trust Him. But they don't believe that. God said He would deliver them. He instructed them to keep the Passover feast when they get there. Verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." Exodus 14, verse 13. What a lesson in that one verse. This is how we should live. See, Moses believed. Moses believed God. And what did he tell them? They're complaining. They're fearful. He sees the same tanks, the chariots, the marching men, the Red Sea over here, the enemy on this side of them. He sees the same thing the people see. And they say, "Why did you bring us out here to die?" And what does Moses say? Because he believes. First of all, he says three things here. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. When bad things come against us, seemingly bad things, trials, tribulation, problems, we don't want to be afraid. We don't want to have fear grip our heart. Otherwise, it affects our mind, our fellowship with the Lord. Our day is shot. Our days are shot. So first things, don't be afraid. Why? Because God is with us. He should have said, "Look at that cloud right there. That's the Shekinah glory of God. That He's here with us. We have the Holy Spirit. He's here with us. We know God is here. That's why we don't be afraid, because God is with us. And we're His children. He will take care of us." So first of all, He says, do not be afraid. The second thing He says is, stand still. In other words, you prayed, you cried out to the Lord. Now wait on the Lord. Wait until He tells you what to do. Don't react right away. Did you ever run into a situation that doesn't look good and the first thing you do is make a call or talk to someone or try to do something about it? That's not God's will. I've seen so many people make bad decisions, from buying things, houses, cars, businesses, making decisions with family, because I've seen them get into so much trouble because they do it right away because they want it. Or they're fearing something, and they make a decision right away. That's not biblical. And then you look back and say, "Why did I do that?" Well, don't be afraid. Stand still. Stand still. You cry out to the Lord. We need to give the Lord that time of letting Him speak and direct. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. But what if I don't hear from the Lord? Well, I know for sure you're not going to hear from the Lord if you don't wait on Him and you make a decision right away. Stand still, wait on the Lord. And the third thing, what does He say? See the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you. That word salvation is deliverance. See the deliverance of the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. How He's going to deliver you. How He's going to work this out. We must keep our eyes on the Lord and not on the circumstances or the enemy against us. We must not trust in ourselves. We must trust in the Lord, His power and His strength. We don't want to faint. Remember, is anything too hard for the Lord? No, nothing's too hard for the Lord. Anything we see or that comes against us, it's not too hard for the Lord. If God is for us, who can be against us? The enemy on one side, the Red Sea on the other. Do you want to die by getting speared or drowned? No. There's a third option, deliverance from the Lord. It's not always two decisions, two things. There's the Lord. Look up. We need to just look up and focus on God and His power. We need to see the spiritual realm. Our day and age is so full of flesh, so full of carnality and things going the world's way that you can get caught up in it and not even get your focus on the spiritual realm. You go to work all day and just get filled with the world. We have to stand still, wait on the Lord, let Him run our life. I wonder what God thinks of our life today, our world today. It started off so base. People and God have fellowship with God. We need to see the spiritual realm. Don't let the world or the things of the world overtake us. We have the Lord. We live above that realm of the world. We're Christians. Isn't that great? God is on our side. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13. The story in 2 Kings chapter 6 is about the king of Syria out to get Elisha the prophet. Remember how the king was getting caught in his plans? And he says, how does this guy know what I'm doing? And he says, well, there's this prophet. He knows what you're doing in your bedroom. You know, he's a man of God, and he knows ahead of time. Remember that story? And so 2 Kings 6, verse 13, so the king of Syria says, go get that prophet. 2 Kings 6, verse 13. So he says, go and see where he is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there to get one guy. That's how much he feared him. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. So the servant gets up and goes outside. Whoa! Man, there's this army surrounding us. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Oh, no, it's bad. There's an army around us. So he answered, same thing. Do not fear. Don't go by sight. Do not fear. For those who are with us, me and you, two people, for those that are with us are more than those who are with them. I wonder what the servant was thinking. Wait, one, two, hundreds. Let's see. How can you say there's more with us than with them? And Elisha prayed. And he said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. He saw the spiritual realm where he was protected by God, these chariots of fire around him. And guess what? They destroyed themselves. You know, God saved him. We are surrounded by God's army. We need to keep our eyes on God. We're surrounded by the Lord and His army. We're safe. Psalm 121, please. Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. Where comes my help? My help comes from the Lord. Lift up your eyes. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Aren't you glad our God doesn't sleep? Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. Who's going to keep us safe? The Lord. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Hey, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Well, that's pretty powerful to make heaven and earth. So we see these great lessons here. from Moses here in verse 13, how this is what we need to do for deliverance. Just keep fear away. Don't be afraid. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish. And you notice he says, the Egyptians you see today, you're never going to see them again. Wow. That sounds pretty good. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It happened after this that the people of Moab, with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. So they're coming to battle against King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. They are in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. See, that's our first reaction normally. We fear. He feared, but then he set himself to seek the Lord immediately. That's what we need to do. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Egypt. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. So they gathered together and had this huge prayer meeting. Go to verse 12. Jehoshaphat prays, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Not on the enemy, but upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, their children, stood before the Lord. They were serious. They gathered for prayer by families. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, again, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. Don't look at the odds. Don't look at the number of people against you. Don't be afraid. Why? For the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is God's. And he tells him in verse 17, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves and what? Stand still, same thing, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. What did he do? Bowed his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. When we fear, we don't worship. When we worship, we don't fear. See, we get our eyes on the Lord in the spiritual. When we fear, you know, it keeps us away from worshiping God. But when we worship, we pray and we worship, we don't fear because our focus is on the Lord. And the and you know what happened there? The enemy destroyed each other. Isn't that something? God's got his way of doing it. You know, we usually analyze, well, how can God do this? That's not working, God. That's not working, God. I don't see how this possibly can work out. And God's saying, I can work it out. I know things you don't know. And that's what he does. I often don't know how the Lord will work things out or bring victory. You know what's good? I don't have to know. I just have to stand still and see the deliverance of the Lord. Isn't that great? That I don't have to know. I don't have to wake up tomorrow morning and start figuring it out again. Sometimes he tells us to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, like here, and you won't have to fight. But there are other times he tells us to do something and he brings deliverance through us, directed by him to do something. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We can't put God in a box and say it's always going to work the same way. 1 Samuel chapter 17. You know this story. The Philistines gathered their armies together for battle at Succoth. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side. Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spear weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." So he says, hey, come on out against me. You defeat me, we'll serve you. If I defeat you, you serve me. You go through the rest of the chapter. They're fearful. No one wants to go out. Verse 32. David comes along, the shepherd boy. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and a man of war from his youth." He says, "You can't do this. You don't know how to fight. You're a shepherd. You know, you're just a young kid. You can't go out against this man of war." Why not? If that's what God tells him to do. Sometimes God tells us what to do, and we do it. And so he says in verse 35, David said to Saul, verse 34, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it, struck it, delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. I killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." He's defying our God. God is going to bring him down. There's nothing that can stand against God. You see? And what verse 44, the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." Hey, God is on my side. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." And he did. He slung a stone into his forehead. The Philistine went down. He took his sword and he cut his head off. Why? Because he said, the battle is the Lord's. He doesn't say with spear or sword. We don't have to have great armies. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And he did. So sometimes he says, go out and take that ground, and we do. So back to our text, our last verse 14. "The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." So verse 13, he says, "Don't be afraid, stand still, see the salvation or deliverance of the Lord, which he's going to accomplish for you." And why don't they have to be afraid? Because the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Hey, keep your peace. He's saying, just be quiet. Don't complain. Don't challenge the Lord. Don't doubt. Just be quiet. It literally means you will be speechless with amazement. That's good. Were you ever amazed at the way the Lord worked it out? You go up and tell someone, you can't believe what the Lord did. You're amazed. Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We need to be still. And it says, not only be still, but know that he is God. In other words, focus on the fact that he's the creator of heaven and earth. And that's how we can be still, by knowing, wait, God can work this out. We don't trust in our own understanding. We don't go by sight. See, they were complaining what they said was false. They were doubting God. It's better to be still and know that he's God and watch him work, and the Lord will fight for us. Next week, we pick it up and see what's going to happen, how God is going to deliver them. God, we thank you for your word tonight. Help us to trust in you with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Deliver us, Lord, from whatever we're facing today. Direct our steps. Help us. Thank you that we have your word to be encouraged tonight. I pray that it's written on our hearts and we're not afraid, and that we watch you work, Lord, that we're still and we're just quiet, not challenging or questioning. And we ask that in Jesus' name, amen.